Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Psalm 51, verses 7 to 12. And I want to speak today. It's time to draw closer. God is calling us closer. He's touching our hearts. He's drawing us. We're feeling that tug in our spirits to come closer to Him. And if you're new here today, or if you're a person that's never had faith before, God is drawing all people. And He's tugging at our hearts. And He wants us to come closer. And so that's what I want to speak about here this morning. So Psalm 51, just going to read verses 7 to 12. It says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." Father, I just pray you would just bless your word to our hearts, and you open up our minds of understanding that, Lord, we'll receive from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I hope to encourage you and inspire you in recognizing that it's time to draw close to God, and that God is moving. God is touching hearts, touching lives, and He's drawing everybody to Him. And that's what we want to see. And now is the time, and I even sense an urgency in this regard. And, you know, this morning as I woke up, I was to go over my message. The very first thought in my head was that, you know, maybe I need a different message because, you know, this is kind of a fun Sunday. We want to fellowship. You know, we don't want to be too serious. And I just felt the Lord very quickly say, there's an urgency. There's an urgency to share what you would share about drawing closer. And I think that's something that you're sensing as well. I'm sure there's many of you in this room that you've been sensing that there's something happening. There's something stirring inside of you that is causing you to want to draw closer to God. And I trust that that is the case. And if we've been wavering in our faith, or maybe if we've been kind of walking away from the faith for a while or kind of putting it on hold, that, again, there'd be that stirring inside of us that is drawing us back that I need to come closer to God. So whether you're at the state of choosing to be a believer, or choosing to return to become a believer, or if you've been a believer all of your life, it's really time for all of us to look seriously at ourselves and see how we can grow and how we can draw closer to God. So recognizing the time, you know, we need to deal with our excuses, our differences, our offenses, our priorities, or any other thing in our lives that possibly could be hindering us, that is keeping us from drawing closer to Him. Now, I'm sure you've been hearing many others admonishing that this is a time that we're living in right now to be serious about our faith and to draw closer to God. If you follow prophetic style ministries, you'll see there's lots of people talking about that there. If you follow biblical scholars and teachers, you will find a lot of them are talking about that there. If you're following other pastors as well, you will be finding there's a lot of them sounding the alarm that it is time for us to be serious in our relationship with God and to draw closer to Him. Now personally, I've heard and read many words about this being the season to draw closer to God. Something that is burning in my own heart, but I know it's also burning in a lot of other people's hearts, others' ministries' hearts. Man, even if you go on social media, you also can see it there. I was kind of encouraged this week. I received a text by a pastor that does not text me, that we're not close to or anything like that. And he sent me a scripture, just kind of speaking that over up me and over our church. And it was from Isaiah 43:19. We spoke about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And it says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." And I really believe God's going to do something new. There's a stirring that is happening in our world today that is drawing people back to God. And we need that because there's been so many that have walked away from God. We need a stirring to draw people back. It's kind of interesting as well that I received an email from Bethel Church in Reading. And it was an email about the pastor's conference that's coming up in the fall. But what stood out to me there was a paragraph that talked about us again, that it's time to draw close. And this is what it said in that particular paragraph. It said, "We believe it's time to stretch the tent pegs of our faith again, to receive God-sized faith and pray God-sized prayers. As we enter a new era, we believe that God is about to do something big on the planet, not just in our area or our church, on the planet, something that will expand our thinking and perspectives of God and bring boldness to our belief. It's time to tear down the walls of limitations that we have built up so that God's dreams can be fulfilled on the planet." I kind of like that God is wanting to move not just here. God is wanting to move everywhere throughout the earth to draw all men and all people to himself. And so Christians all over the world are sensing that something big is about to happen. And in some areas, some big things are already happening. And we're believing that's going to happen even before the return of Christ. And I think many of you are sensing that kind of same kind of thing. And if we're going to really believe that, if we really believe that God's going to do something fresh, something new, that God is really going to be moving upon our world in a greater way, then there should be our response back is that, well, I need to respond to that. I need to be ready to be a part of what God is going to do. And so when we think about that, it's time. It's time for us to deal with our stuff and make that greater effort to draw closer to God. It's time to, the Bible says, fill your lamps with oil. We don't want to be like the five virgins that did not have their lamps filled, but five did. Well, we don't want to be those five that didn't. We want to make sure that we're part of that group that has our lamps filled. And so that's what I want to focus on, just drawing closer to God. And to help us with that, you know, there's a great passage here. We just read part of it. And it comes from the story of King David that had sinned and a relationship with Bathsheba. And there were some other things that were going on in his life. And because he was the king, he was kind of thought, well, this is okay for me to do because I am the king. Well, soon he heard from the King of Kings who said, no, this is not proper conduct for you, and that you need to repent and you need to change your ways. And, you know, as you think about that, well, again, we got to come back to that part. The very first commandment in the Bible, Matthew 22, 37, 38. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And I believe God is causing us and is calling us back to that part that where the Lord becomes our greatest pursuit. That we will serve him and love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And so I really believe that God is calling us back to that truth, that we might get our relationship back where it should be with God. And so I just want to take a quick look at what David did, because as I see what David did in this psalm, I think there's some great insights for us to realize and how we can draw closer to God. You know, it's not rocket science or anything. It's pretty simple. And how we can draw closer to God, it just talks about an effort that is needed by us all. So first of all, in drawing closer to God, it's time to deal with sin. Now, we don't like hearing that word. We don't like anyone referring to us that you have sinned or you have done wrong. But there is the reality, as the Bible says, we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so, you know, when a person can point their finger, you know, we can point our fingers right back at ourselves. We have all sinned. We have all made mistakes. We are all guilty in that regard. But a good place to start when we realize that we have sinned and we want to draw closer to God is to repent of our sins, to take an honest assessment of ourselves and how we're really living that faith. You know, are we doing things that we shouldn't be doing? Are there things that are hindering our relationship with God and preventing us from drawing closer to God? Then if there is, we need to deal with those things. Now, King David, he started with acknowledging he had sinned. He acknowledged that he was guilty of his sin. And he recognized how serious his sin was, and he confessed that sin before God, repented of that sin, seeking God for forgiveness. And as you read this psalm, it is a beautiful psalm that actually a person can pray anytime that, you know, you're struggling in an area of sin. This is a great psalm to pray and just say, Lord Jesus, this is what I'm doing. I'm coming to you. And so we see acknowledgement there. We see confession of his sin. We see repentance of sin. And those are all things that we need to deal with in our lives when we see sin in our own lives. Here's what he said in Psalm 51, the first four verses. We didn't read that. It says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. That's always a great thing for us to remember, that as we come before God, that he loves us. We have a great God that has unfailing love for us. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. And against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight, and you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Man, he's really hitting that pretty hard, that as we deal with things in our lives that have not been good or have not been according to the word of the Lord, then this is a great prayer to pray, recognizing God loves us, God is compassionate, and that God forgives. But still, we need to come before him. Ask for that washing. Ask for that cleansing. Acknowledge what we have done. Acknowledge that we have sinned against him. And friends, anytime we fail to do what God wants us to do, the Bible says that's sin. So not necessarily certain deeds. It can simply be something there. God may be speaking to you about doing something, and you keep saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, so it doesn't have to be big sins in order to affect our lives or our relationship with God. Small sins do the same thing. All sin separates us and hinders our walk with God. And so I really believe it's time that we look at ourselves spiritually to any area where we're falling short of God's standard. And it's time that we get to that place where we stop excusing that behavior and we stop consoling ourselves where, oh, you know what, like it's such a minor thing, it's such a little thing, like, and then we like to do that, well, so-and-so, they're way worse than me, and so, Lord, this must be okay. That's not where we go. We say, God, I am sorry, I have sinned, and I ask that you would cleanse me of this sin. I like Psalm 139, it ends with these words. Scripture that you can pray. And it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting light. See, it's important that we put ourselves under the spotlight of God's examination. We like putting ourselves under the spotlight of our own opinions. We like that putting ourselves in the spotlight of what other Christians think and say. We like to put ourselves under the spotlight of what society views as right or wrong. And we need to get back to that place where our examination is according to the Word of God and according to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And as we deal with our own sin, then we need to take those steps to acknowledge our sin, to confess our sin, to repent of our sin. It's very important and very essential to our faith and to our forgiveness. Listen to what the psalmist David says of the Lord in Psalm 51:17. He says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And so there really does, when we look at ourselves and see things, as we ask God to reveal anything in our lives that is not pleasing to him, there needs to be a remorse. There needs to be, you know, God, I'm sorry. I didn't really realize that this was really affecting our relationship that much. And where we begin to cry out to him, and we know that as we cry out to him, that he will hear us and he will forgive us. So as you desire to draw close to God, don't let those sins keep you away from God, but rather bring those sins to God. Repent of those sins, ask God to forgive you, and receive that forgiveness and that welcome from God and that love afresh from his throne room. And so that's really an important step in drawing closer. Dealing, I call it, with our stuff. We all have stuff. We all have things in our lives that, you know, we need to deal with. And sometimes, you know, we deal with some things, but then there's some other things that just kind of keep holding on to them. God wants us to deal with all those things. Then secondly, in drawing closer to God, we need to get clean. We need to get real serious about the things of God. And if God has been convicting us in a certain area, or there have been things in our lives that we know we need to change, and yet we just keep doing the same old thing over and over and over again, God is telling us it's time to deal with those things. You know, as I was reading this, I was thinking, like, this is good marriage counseling as well. Good place to start with in your marriage. If you're having troubles in your marriage, you repent and you say, I'm sorry. And you take those steps where you're proving that you're sorry. And that's what kind of this gets into this area as well, that, you know, we want to be clean. Get cleaned up in those areas. Psalm 51, 7, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And friends, when we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us completely. We are washed clean. We are washed as white as snow. He's not looking at our sin anymore when we confess it and repent before him. However, when he forgives us, that doesn't mean that I have a license now to go do it again or go do those same things that God was convicting me of to do them again. No, we're to stop doing what we have been doing that has been wrong. John 8, 10 to 11 tells us a story, or part of the story, where the woman was caught in adultery and they were trying to set up Jesus. They didn't really care about this woman because they had cared about the woman. They would have brought the man with them that was caught in adultery. So they were just trying to set up Jesus and trying to make him, you know, make a mistake here. But notice what Jesus said to this woman. And he stood up, it tells us that, John 8, 10 to 11. He said to the woman, where are your accusers? Because remember in the story, they all left one by one. Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she responds, no, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You know, that's a really important step in our lives in drawing closer to God and dealing with our sins. You know, it's one thing to confess your sin. It's one thing to receive forgiveness for your sins. But there needs to be that appreciation that we start to show that we sin no more. And you know, just speaking of marriages as well, that when we say we're sorry and you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, we all know when our spouse says to you, oh, well, I'm sorry, and they go and do the same thing again, that what do? We totally ignore it and say, no, you're not even serious. But when we see that that person does it no more, then we really know that they're sorry. And that goes for us. We need to do that. We need to really show to God, you know what, I'm serious about this relationship. And these things that I've been doing before, I will not do them anymore. So it's great having a desire to change, but if the desire doesn't lead to action, the desire doesn't do a whole lot for us. Good to start that way, but that desire needs to come to that place where it leads to change. And that's really what repentance is. Repentance is a change of heart. So those are some things that we need to work on. And to make a difference in our lives, to make a difference in our walk with God. And so if there's some behavior that, you know, you've been excusing, or behavior that you've been allowing to control your life or be controlling your thoughts, and you're excusing it, you're not doing anything about it. You may be saying, I'm sorry, God, but you just keep going back to the same old thing. Well, it's time that God says, time to get your life clean. Time to stop doing those things and to sin no more. So we need to get clean, need to get rid of those things, put them to death once and for all. James 4, 8 to 10, listen how it tells us to come close to God. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So there's a lot of things when we draw close to God that, yes, it is important that we deal with our sins. Yes, it's important that we come to that place where we get clean, where those things that we were doing, we do no longer. We say, I'm done with that. It's over. I'm burying it. It's kind of like when we get baptized in water. That's what we're supposed to be declaring when we get baptized. We're going down into those waters, and basically we're supposed to be signifying that, you know what, that's my old life. It's getting buried, and I'm going to rise up to be a new person, a new individual. That's what I'm doing. And so this is what this is talking about as well, that that's what we need to do in the natural, that we say no to sin and that we start living our days from that day forward not to sin again in that area. And as we do that, the Bible says, as you humble yourself, he's going to lift you up. The Lord's going to encourage you. The Lord's going to help you. The Lord's going to strengthen you. The Lord's going to bring good things into your life. And so again, as we, it's really all talking about taking your faith seriously. It's time to get clean. Time to get rid of some things. It's time to put to death some things and serve our Lord. Time to get rid of some stuff and serve the Lord. Colossians 3, 5 and verse 8 tells us this. It says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Now is the time to get clean. Now is the time to get rid of some things that are hindering our relationship with God and with others, that we might draw closer to him and experience him in far greater ways. So basically what it's telling us, it's time to clean up our acts. Time to, you know, start dealing with those things that we've been excusing and saying, oh, it doesn't really make that much difference. Yes, it does. We need to do those things and get clean to draw closer. Then thirdly, in drawing closer, we need to get back to where we feel and experience God's presence. You know, get back to doing those things that brought us to the place where we sense the presence of God in our life. You know, there's nothing better than to sense the presence of God. And then you start sensing that. Once you start sensing that, you want to sense it all the time. But, you know, there's a work that each of us needs to do to be in that position. Psalm 51, 10 and 11 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So as we draw closer, again, give us a clean heart, Lord. I want to renew my heart, my mind, my whole being, that I might serve you with my all. And, you know, get back to that place where we sense the presence of God. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we need to sometimes just stop and really do an examination of ourselves and say, am I still experiencing God's presence like I used to? And if we're not, then get back to the things that we know that we should be doing. Get back to regular prayer. Get back to reading the Bible. Get back to worship. Get back to gathering with other Christians. Get back to church. Get back to serving. And whatever you used to do that brought you to that place where you used to sense the presence of God over your life, get back to that. Start doing those things again. It's interesting that as Jesus is speaking to the churches of Revelation, so basically his last sermon in the Bible, talking to the churches, he's talking to a church that lost their first love. And what does he tell them to do? He tells them to get back to your first love. Revelations 2, 4 and 5. He says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. If that's describing us today, then this is what we need to do. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me. Do the works you did at first. Because if you don't repent, then comes all those warnings that we see in Scripture. And so we want to respond to that. Start doing the things that we used to do that brought us into that place where we felt and sensed the presence of God. Getting back to what we did at first. Part of today is getting back to some fellowship. We need fellowship. You know, from those COVID years on, I think it has really shown us that we have suffered as a society because we have lost a lot of fellowship. I hear people tell me all the time, Pastor, I am so lonely. And I hear that and just rips your heart out every time you hear that. Well, we want to encourage fellowship here. If you're new here, we want to welcome you and say that you have a place here and that we want to get to know you. We want to have fellowship with you. So getting back to what we did at first when we came to Christ, where we felt his presence, that's something that's important because there's a beautiful comfort, there's a beautiful strength when you sense God's presence over your life. It really is the most wonderful thing in all the world. And we all know that. And God's going to say, then why aren't you continuing to seek for more of that? And we need to do that. So this whole process of examining ourselves, repenting of our sins, you know, getting to live lives that are clean, pursuing his presence, they all help us in drawing closer to God and experience refreshing times from God. I like how Acts 3, 19 to 20 speak of that. It says, now repent of your sins, turn to God, so your sins can be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. And friends, man, we're there. Second coming of the Lord, as we look at all the things happening in the Middle East, would certainly tell us that, hey, get ready. That's coming soon. But there's a refreshment that comes first. And I'm believing for a refreshment. And I think if you're here today and you're looking for a refreshment in your relationship with God, you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing by just being right here. So in drawing close, let's deal with that stuff. Let's get back to pursuing the presence of God and being in the atmosphere of the presence of God. And then lastly, in drawing closer to God, let's get our joy back. Do whatever you have to do to get back to that place where you have joy in serving the Lord and loving the Lord. You know, sometimes as Christians throughout the years, you know, sometimes that love kind of grows a little bit dim. You know, we get used to relationships, you know, marriage relationships. Sometimes, well, you kind of get used to one another and take things for granted and you stop doing those things that you did at first to show that person that you love them or care about them. And so get the joy back, go back to start doing those things. Psalm 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey. It's kind of interesting that he's not just crying out, I need some restoration here, God, with you. I need to get back to that place where I experience the joy, the happiness, the presence of God. But notice he says, and make me willing to obey you. You know where a lot of the joy comes from? Is when we start doing those things we're supposed to be doing. When we start obeying the Lord and start doing those things that God is telling us to do. And so another thing maybe to ask yourself too, who or what stole your joy? Now, if you've been a person that grew up in church, there's probably been some things you've gone on in the church that you didn't like. You may have been hurt in church. Lots of things can happen in church as you serve the Lord throughout the years. And what we need to do, though, is look back at those things like, hold it, I'm not going to allow this to destroy my relationship with God or my joy with God. I'm going to put that aside and move forward because I'm here to serve the Lord. And he's supposed to be the person that I'm looking to and pressing after. And we need to get back to that. Press after him. Don't allow things of the past to hold you back or to hinder you from experiencing the blessings that God has for you today. So work hard at that relationship with God. Work hard on relationships, period. And where we get to know God better and better and better, because there's always more with God. Pursue him. Pursue him. He's calling us. There's a call that's going out around the world. People are sensing that. People are feeling that. We're feeling it right here. We want that. We're seeing that even in the churches in our Lakeland region. We've been sensing that for some time, that, you know, God is going to move. I know some of our prophetic guys there, the Robinsons, they're going to be coming here in another week or so, going to be in Bonneville. Why do they come here? Well, they're sensing there's something great to happen in this area. So there's lots of people sensing that, feeling that. So we need to draw closer. Colossians 1, 10 to 11 says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. What's part of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Do you want the joy back? Then we get back to knowing God better and better. And as we know him better and better, joy will come. Joy will surface again. Joy will fill us again as we get back to that place where we need to be with God. You know, there's always a satisfaction when you're doing something that God wants you to do, or you go out and you take a step of faith and you do something for God, and you know, instantly you just see something happen. What's our response? Like, we get pretty excited about that. Say, wow, this was great. This was awesome. Well, God's wanting to do that all the time in our lives, that wherever we go, whoever we talk to, that he can use us to speak into other people's lives, to bless them, to encourage them, to help them. And joy starts coming because you know you're doing something that God has called you to do. And so we need to get back to that place where we prioritize God in our lives once again, and that get the joy back. Get the joy back. Don't allow the enemy to have rule in that area. Don't allow the enemy to say, I've won. I've got you. No, you need to poke him right back and say, no, you're not. You're not going to steal my joy. I'm coming back to where the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. So I hope this morning, again, maybe not the best message to share when we're trying to have some fun and happiness, but there is a seriousness. And you know, I just felt that so strong this morning as I woke up and just felt that urgency. And that word urgency about this, we need to draw closer. Things are closer at hand than what we realize of what God is going to do. And so we need to be ready for that. And you know, as a church, you know, we've been believing for new people. So if you're here and you're brand new, you know what? We've been believing and asking God, send us new people. So we're glad you're here today. We've been praying for salvations, that people would come to faith in Jesus Christ. We've been praying for breakthroughs for people. Man, there's a lot of needs out there that people are facing today. We need to see some breakthroughs in those areas. We need to see some deliverances. Some people, man, they're just stuck. They can't seem to get out of it. They're stuck at a certain thing. Well, what do they need? God to deliver them and set them free. Some people feel like they're in a prison, and God wants to come and set them free. We've been praying for signs and wonders and healings and miracles. And it's been interesting as we've been praying for some of those things that we've been seeing them, but we're being tested like every step of the way that we're praying for someone to be healed. We see a little bit, and then there's a step back, a little bit ahead, a little step back. And I believe that God's calling us like, you got to press in. You got to press in. You just can't do a little, you know, quick little prayer and think that's good enough. We need to press in to see these signs and wonders and miracles to take place. And so we need to prepare for that. We need to prepare ourselves. If there's anything in us that would hinder that, let's deal with it and let's draw closer to the Lord. You know, God is wanting to do greater things. And I believe that time is now. He is drawing people. God is speaking to people. And you know, we're seeing more and more people start to come to faith or have that realization that God is real and that I need to start looking to God. Well, that's what God is doing today. He's drawing people unto himself. And we're starting to see some signs and wonders, miracles. Isn't it cool that during these last few years, even the Northern Lights, I think that's so cool, where you see the Northern Lights. I just think that's God just saying, hey, this is part of my handiwork. But I also believe he's saying, get ready. Kind of interesting. People send me pictures. They like taking pictures of the cross and taking pictures of the things in the sky that are happening. And I had another one this week, a person showing me how the a sunset, or no, morning, as the sun was rising and just these rays that were coming towards the cross. And yeah, God's doing lots of interesting things around our world. But, you know, he's doing that to draw us to himself. He's doing that. He's trying to wake up the church as well, that the church would come back to him and be ready to serve him and be ready for a harvest of people that are wanting to experience God. And so I really sense that, you know, it's time for us to put that priority of God back in our lives, just as you're doing today. You're here today. You're kind of following through for that. and that we just get our lives back to where they should be. And if there is stuff in our lives that God say, you know what, it's time to deal with it. You can't keep going down this road and keeping these things in your life. They got to go. They got to go. You got to deal with it. And that's really important. And, you know, and today we're going to be ending with some fellowship. Do you know that's one of the things that the Bible says in the last days? You know what you need to do? You need to start gathering together. We need that. We need one another. There's encouragement in this room. And I really hope that, you know, don't put all the pressure on me that, you know, I'm going to sense that, you know, this person needs help, that person needs help. You know what? God speaks to you too. And as God speaks to you, I really pray, be obedient to that. And, you know, maybe give an encouraging word to somebody or call them up or send them a note, send them a text. Just say, hey, I'm thinking about you or I'm concerned about you. I'm praying for you because we have a great body that's right here. We have great ministers. They're all around you. As you turn to your right and turn to your left and look to the front of you and the back, there's great ministers right here in this place. You all have gifts. You all have ministries. You all can encourage. You all can lift people up. And so as we have a kind of conclude this service, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Sit with somebody. Talk to somebody. Maybe somebody you don't know. And if you feel to be encouraging someone today, do that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing when someone speaks into your life and sends you an encouraging word. It really is. But I'm just sensing today, draw closer. God is calling us to draw closer. He's calling me to draw closer. He's calling each and every one of us to draw closer. We may be all at different levels. That doesn't matter. What matters is he's speaking to us and he's asking us, come closer. Come closer. He wants us to experience the more that he has to offer us.